This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Wednesday, congratulations to you. You have crested the peak of the week. It is hump day. We're over halfway done. And man, oh man, do we have quite a few things to talk about tonight. And we're going to weave back and forth and we're going to merge stories together. And we're going to laugh and we're going to cry and we're going to complain about the corporate world, which is hilarious. We'll do some emails. We'll talk about Trump dunking on the South African president right in his stupid face. We'll talk about what's going on with the judiciary, the GOP developing guts, all that. Andrew Cuomo will not go away, and so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But did you know that you should never own a leopard as a pet? Did you know that? You should never own a leopard or a tiger or a lion or anything like that. Did you know that? I'm going somewhere with this. You just have to stay with me. Why? Well, have you ever seen a video of a lion attacking a zookeeper or something like that? A lion attacking someone at the circus? So you've seen it, probably. But let's set that aside. Maybe you can justify the zookeeper or the circus guy. Hey, he's whipping me. He's making me do things. But did you know that there are countless warnings against owning a big cat, a big predator cat, because these animals, no matter how you've raised them, no matter how much they snuggle with you, love you, no matter how many times you fed them, they're around the kids, they have a long recorded history of snapping. Well, we call it snapping, but attacking you one day and killing you. I remember, I forget if it was a man or a woman, had a leopard and it was like 12 years old. It was really like it raised it from a tiny little leopard baby. I don't know what you call those, a kitty, a cub, whatever it was. And one day, turned her back, the leopard pounced, dead, gone. Why did the leopard do that? There are things inside of people and animals that can change. Things you can adjust. Things you can move around. Things, some things are easy, some things are not easy, but even things you think maybe way deep inside of you that you can't change, maybe you can. Some things you definitely can. Me, if I ever wanted to become a good eater, I could become a good eater. I just don't have any desire to do so. Eat green beans instead of cheese. That sounds awful. No, I'm out. But with a long enough effort, could probably do it. But then there are things through social conditioning, through our upbringing, there are things that become so woven into us that they are us now, that you can't get those things out. When you own a leopard, you can love it and snuggle with it and feed it and take it to the beach and have a lovely time. But in the end, it's inside of that leopard to hunt prey, specifically prey that turns its back. And no matter how many snuggles you give Mr. Kitty, he's still a leopard in the end. There are things we have to acknowledge about evil people on this planet, both in our country and outside of this country. There are uncomfortable conversations we have about who is salvageable, who is worth the effort, and who simply should be defeated. You see, Trump today, it's all over the news, and I'll play you a bunch of cuts of it. We'll talk about South Africa and what he did with the South African president, but you're aware of what's happening in South Africa. So we've talked about it before. Not that I think you care a great deal about South Africa. I don't think you're cheering for it, but I don't think you care. I don't generally care that much just because it's a foreign country, and you know I don't really care about foreign countries. But white people are now a minority in South Africa. They are generally the ones who own and work the farms of South Africa. The South African government is not only communists, they're race communists. It's run by racist black people, and they have made it policy now to take these farms from South Africans. Not only have they made it policy to take these farms, you see, they use stochastic terrorism the same way our politicians use stochastic terrorism. They will get up in front of mass amounts of people and they'll call for the killing of the farmers. And guess what? The animals over there operate just like the animals do here. You give them enough encouragement with enough stimulus, they will go out there and they will rape and they will murder. And it is a horrific, horrific thing. Happens all the time. Trump called him out today to his face.
But why wouldn't you arrest that man? That man said, kill the white farmers, kill the white farmers. And then he danced, and he's dancing, and it's kill the white farmers. I'm not sure, but I think if somebody got up in Parliament and started saying, kill a certain group of people, he would be arrested very quickly. That man is going all over South Africa. And that's not a small party. That was a stadium that holds 100,000 people. And I hardly saw an empty seat. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of representation. And those crosses, we have dead white people, dead white farmers, mostly. And you take a look at Australia. They're being inundated and we're being inundated with people that want to get out.
He said more. He said this.
No.
You do allow them to take land.
No, nobody can take land.
And then when they take the land, mm-hmm. they kill the white farmer. And when they kill the white farmer, nothing happens to them.
No. There is quite...
Nothing happens to
there
them.
There is criminality in our country.
He even took the time to blast the media, which we'll go into in a little while, but... That's not where I want to focus right now. We're going to talk about this for a little while. We're going to move away from South Africa and come home, in case you're wondering. But the South African president said something. That press conference, I know you've already heard 1,000 audio cuts of it today. I got that. You heard every take. But there was part of it that jumped out to me that I haven't really heard people talk about. And it wasn't something Trump said. I very much enjoyed Trump dunking on him. It was what the South African president said right here.
However, we do say, because we've got to deal with the past, the government, and as your government also.
Do you hear what he said? Trump just called him to his face. Hey, there's a genocide. You're slaughtering white people. It's government policy to take their farms. Listen to him again.
However, we do say, because we've got to deal with the past.
We've got to deal with the past. Let's talk about race communism, because race communism is as old as communism, and race communism is as old as communism itself, because race communism is one of, if not the most effective forms of communism. It's not the most murderous form. That would be the climate communists. But race communism advances the cause of communism more quickly than any other cause. It's easy to get people to buy into it. It's easy to get your enemies to shy away from it. Race communism, it moves the ball forward for the communist. And it moves the ball forward because of this very idea.
However, we do say, because we've got to deal with the past.
We have to deal with the past. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the 400-year history of people coming there from Holland and whatnot. But how do you deal with the past? You attack the people in the present. And that's part of what makes race communism so insanely effective. What can the people of the present do to stop you? to dissuade you, I should say. They can do things to stop you. What can they do to dissuade you? Well, nothing. If you are evil, inherently evil, simply because of somebody who shared your skin color, they did something in the past, then you are just, it's in your bones, and more importantly, it's in my bones. If I look on you, white man, black man, Mexican, whatever you happen to be, and I automatically assume you are an enemy, you are not an ally, you are somebody who must be punished, and you must be punished because of something your great-great-great-grandfather did, well, what can you do to convince me otherwise? Nothing. You are completely powerless. You were born with that skin, and it is ingrained in them. I will discuss this at length next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday, having a really lighthearted conversation about race communism. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. The South African president, when confronted by Donald Trump, and credit to Donald Trump for doing this, by the way, with the white genocide taking place, a government-sanctioned white genocide in South Africa, said this.
However, we do say, because we've got to deal with the past, the government and...
We've got to deal with the past. Hey, we got to take these farms. Got to slaughter a few people. There's no other way to deal with the past. Race communism is, in my opinion, the most effective form of communism. It's the most effective because it's easy to get people motivated by it. And when it comes to your opponents, it's easy to weaken their will to oppose you. It becomes who they are. You are inherently evil because you're white. I'm inherently good because I'm black. Once you get to that place, once that becomes woven into your DNA, or whatever race you want to do, once that becomes woven into your DNA, you will march forward attacking your enemy without end. But on the flip side of that coin, what if, for instance, well, I'll make this about me. I don't care about your race. Your skin color means nothing to me. Honestly, your religion means nothing to me. Are you somebody who shares my values? We could probably get along. It really means nothing. It's not that I love it or hate it. It means nothing. I don't care. So I'm somebody who doesn't want to be involved in any kind of a race battle. That doesn't interest me at all. Not interested in the least. But what if a whole group of black dudes got together and they decided I was the bad guy for being white? Well, at first, I would be a little bit confused. I don't understand. What have I done? I haven't done anything. But at some point in time, if I am maybe a different kind of a person, maybe I would be tempted to maybe even start apologizing. Hey, look, I'm sorry that, man, hey, my bad. I know that my grandpa, or look, I know some things happened to you in the past. Would you like evidence of this? I would invite you to go look at the Black Lives Matter video from Washington, D.C., where the street animals were marching through the streets, walking up to white people, eating outside, demanding they raise their fist in solidarity, and fist after fist after fist went up. Oh, you're right, I am sorry. Oh, you're right. Race communism is so effective at breaking down your defensives because you don't want to be called a racist. You don't want to be called whatever they've turned you into in their mind. It weakens your defenses and it motivates them. It's part of their DNA woven into them. The people who buy into that crap of every color, of every religion, the people who buy into it, it gets woven into their bones, and nothing you say can get them off of it. No law you pass will change their mind, and this is all going to come back to America right about now. Let's, in fact, go to Chicago. There's a great example of this. Mayor Brandon Johnson of Chicago, an infamous black racist, came out recently. We already played the audio for you on the show. I'm not going to play it again, where he said black people people are the most generous people on earth, and that's why I only give these jobs to black people, and I'll give that job to black people. Mayor Brandon Johnson got confronted by this. I'll play both questions because they're both outstanding. Listen to the question. Listen to the non-answer. There is no answer because a deep, abiding hatred of white people is woven into his DNA. And it doesn't matter how many facts, how many audio clips, how many anything you show him, you can't get it out.
I'm more than happy to ask this question. It's long overdue. For over a year, real Chicagoans, white and black, have been telling me that your black power rhetoric is bringing the city backwards from a place that
we need the question.
Had overcome. You want the question?
Please.
Real Chicagoans want to know, why are you a racist?
Well, you know, first of all, I reject the idea and the premise that somehow that's an actual legitimate question.
You want to bet?
He followed up.
And my follow-up question is a businessman, Robert Gomez, had his riverfront restaurant license yanked. You said that the reason you hire black people is because they're the most generous race on the planet. His riverfront restaurant license was yanked and given to a black restaurateur. That seems to, that has, once again, reinforced the belief among real Chicagoans, white and black, and Mexican, that you are a racist. What do you say to those people?
Again, I reject the premise that somehow that your question has any legitimacy. Thank you for your time, sir.
However, we do say, because we've got to deal with the past.
It becomes woven into your bones, and you will act on it forever. Race, communism gets into your bones. It is a deep, deep evil. Now, I know you probably don't care about South Africa, and unless you're listening from the Windy City, you don't really care about Chicago. But there's something much bigger at play here when it comes to the United States of America. DEI. We're dealing with it now. You already know what it is. You know what it stands for. You know how pervasive it is. And you have been cheering, as I've been cheering, as the Trump administration is trying endlessly to root it out from where they find it. Let's discuss the task we have ahead of us, shall we? Before we discuss that task, let's discuss something wonderful. The patriotic holidays are coming. Independence Day is coming. Memorial Day is coming. This is a wonderful time to wave an American flag in this country. You ever heard of allegiance flags? It's the highest quality American flag because it's made in America. Made in the United States of America. You know what Pure Talk's doing? You know Pure Talk. The CEO is a MACV SOG veteran from Vietnam. Anyway, Pure Talk, they're giving 1,000 of these to veterans. That's what they're doing. Pride Month's coming up in about a week. Verizon, AT&T, Mobile, where do you think they'll be sending your money? With Pure Talk, you pay less. I pay half of what I was paying. My company's handing out American flags to vets. Gosh, it feels good to have a Pure Talk mobile provider. I'll tell you that much. Would you like one? Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Support the vets. Switch your cell phone. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. We are discussing race communism specifically right now, how it's not only a global phenomenon, it is into America's bones. And this is really why I wanted to have this talk tonight before we move on and discuss other things. Obviously, it's in the news because Trump got out there. to his credit, invited the South African president in and didn't just do the standard glad handing stuff. Hey, glad you're here, so on and so forth. Sat down with him on camera and said, hey, you want to address
this?
But
why wouldn't you arrest that man? That man said, kill the white farmers, kill the white farmers. And then he danced, and he's dancing, and it's kill the white farmers. I think, I'm not sure, but I think if somebody got up in Parliament and started saying, kill a certain group of people, he would be arrested very quickly. That man is going all over South Africa, and that's not a small party. That was a stadium that holds 100,000 people, and I hope.
However, we do say, because we've got to deal with the past.
Why are 100,000 people dancing around a stadium saying, kill the white farmer? Because they've been told, it's been ingrained into them that white people are the source of all their problems, that white people are the devil. You're inherently evil if you're white. And so you grab your friends and a couple machetes and you go find a white farmer, his wife and his daughter, you rape them and you chop them into little bits. Race communism. Used very effectively, like I said, by all communists. Mao was famous for this. China. It's not all, you know, Chinese the way we think of it. It's been divided a million times, different tribes, different ethnic areas. Mao was masterful at race communism. He would take this tribe. You're historically oppressed. And guess who oppressed you? Those guys. In fact, those guys should be paying for the sins of the past. You see those houses? Those guys have those houses. Look at those guys. Go kill those guys. Those houses belong to you. They have to pay for the past. But here in the United States of America, it's in our bones too. And it's in our bones badly. DEI was nothing but the latest label America's race communists have used to push race communism forward. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. And of course, diversity, equity, and inclusion is being called out and blasted everywhere, both by Trump, the private sector, you, me, everybody under the sun, and that's good. And the people practicing it are starting to turtle up a little bit, and that's good. However, what's bad is they're just changing their language. They're not changing their thinking, because the thinking that America is evil, specifically the white people in America are evil, and they deserve to have everything torn from them and their country burnt down, is into the bones of the American left, and not just the black ones. Everybody, including the white ones, on the American left inherently believes white people are stupid, evil, racist, and even if you're not specifically, your granddad was, and you need to pay for the sins of the past. In this way of thinking, it's in college campuses. It's in the judiciary. It's high, high up in corporate America. It is throughout the government. It is in the bones of the government. Do I need to remind you what happened when FEMA showed up after Hurricane Helen? FEMA was ordered to show up and start handing out some help, or at least getting people registered for help. They were going door to door. You need help. What do you need? You need a place to stay. Door to door. They flat out walked right past the Trump homes. Oh, you have it, Chris? Go ahead.
And someone feels uncomfortable, we can't go to that home. If you have loose dogs and someone on the team is comfortable with dogs and another person is not, we can't go to that home because of safety precautions.
So you feared the Trump houses. The people on FEMA were fearing the Trump houses like they were fearing people with vicious dogs in their backyard.
Exactly. And just and that's based on the trends. You can ask FEMA.
That was FEMA. Why don't we go check in with Columbia's medical school?
We enter the profession of medicine with appreciation for the opportunity to build on the scientific and humanistic achievements of the past. We also recognize the acts and systems of oppression affected in the name of medicine. We take this oath of service to begin building a future grounded in truth, restoration, and equity, to fulfill medicine's capacity to liberate. I vow to use this knowledge to uplift my patients and disrupt the injustices that harm them as I forge the future of medicine. I promise to self-reflect diligently, to confront unconscious prejudices, and to develop the skills, knowledge, and character necessary to engender an inclusive, equitable field of medicine. Let us bow our heads in recognition of the gravity of this oath. We swear to faithfully engage with these ideals and obligations for the ongoing betterment of medicine and humanity.
I don't know whose idea it was to force the graduating medical students to read that, but let me ask you something. Honestly, think about this. Whoever that was, whoever came up with that despicable statement, do you believe they've changed their views now that DEI isn't popular anymore? Do you believe they've changed their views? What about, you know what, that was FEMA, that was Columbia's medical. What about the judicial system? That's a good place to start. Because Daniel Penny in New York, he was just a dude on a subway. Crazy criminal gets on, throws him in a rear naked choke, dude ends up dying. Prosecutor tries to throw the book at him, charges him with everything she can possibly get away with. She couldn't go too far with everything she could get away with, trying to manipulate it so the white guy went to prison. But how does she handle other cases?
Something that I did with a recent case of mine, and this was never has never been done in my office. I had a murder case where the defendant did not intentionally kill the victim. He went into an ATM on the Upper West Side and tried to rob an individual. Unfortunately, it was an older individual. He was 86. And in the course of the robbery, he fell to the ground. And as a result, he died. This is, under the law, a felony murder, which is akin to intentional murder. However, when I first got the case, I learned, I took the time to learn about the defendant. And it was a strong case, so it wasn't about who done it. I knew immediately who did it. I could prove it. I could take it to trial that day and win it. But it wasn't about that. It was that the more I learned about the defendant and his life and the circumstances, the kinds of things that Jarrell was talking about, that one should take into account the trauma of that individual, I really felt incredibly sorry for him that he had gotten to that point in his life where he felt like there was no other choice but to commit this robbery.
That's a white woman. The white guy, well, he's inherently evil. He has to pay for the past.
However, we do say, because we've got to deal with the past.
So he's got to go to prison forever. The black guy? Robbing some poor dude? Kills him? Well, what about his past? What about his ancestors? He deserves to be let off scot-free. That's in the bones. She's comfortable saying it. Not just comfortable doing it. She's comfortable talking about it on camera. This is what we're up against. Now, that's all the bad news. Let's deal with the good news as far as opposing it and what it takes to oppose it. Let's discuss what it takes to oppose it. Before we do that, let's discuss what it takes to get rid of your pain. You see, Relief Factor, they know pain is in the bones too. It is. Look, your knee hurts for a reason. Your back hurts for a reason. Your wrist, your hands, your feet, your neck. Gosh, the neck, that's horrible, isn't it? But what do you do about it? We usually ignore it, and then we just stop doing things we love. Well, I don't want to go play pickleball tonight. My knee hurts. Or we mask it. Yeah, give me another 25 ibuprofen. That'll do well. Why don't you start taking a daily supplement, 100% drug-free daily supplement? It's Relief Factor. It's developed by doctors, but it's drug-free. People who order this, they take it for 3 weeks. Almost all of them call and order more. Do you realize that? Why do you think that is? It will take your pain away. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, how do we deal with this race communism? What do we do? How do we handle this? Well, I have good news, possibly, depending on who you are. This may be good news. It may be bad news, but all it takes is boldness to deal with it. Did you know that? Do you know why race communism works on good people? Because it uses guilt. And guilt is an extremely, extremely effective thing to use on good people or nice people or whatever way you want to put it. If I can find some way to make you feel guilty. I think I'll text Dob right now and I'll ask, hey, can you make us some homemade hamburger helper tonight? And if she texts back that no, she wants to do something healthier or something like that, maybe I'll come up with something she did. Well, I mean, remember, you burnt dinner the other night and that was my favorite dinner. It would be nice if we had some hamburger helper. Horrible thing to do, of course. But so, so effective. It would probably work like a charm on her. You have to boldly oppose it and speak up. You have to match their aggression with your own aggression. And the thing about what I just said is, if you're like me, that's easy because I'm naturally that way, rude and bold and aggressive. But a lot of people, women in particular, will struggle with this, but some men too. It just depends on your personality, how you were born. For a lot of people, man, that gets uncomfortable. But really what this comes down to is a conversation you and I have had so many times before. Why has liberal Aunt Peggy, the liberal in your life, your coworker, your aunt, your mom, your brother, the liberal, the leftist, the communist in your life, why have they traditionally been the loudest ones at Thanksgiving, at Independence Day, at wherever there's a gathering, whenever there's a meeting? Why is it usually the lefties who are the loudest and boldest? Because the good people don't want confrontation. The nice people don't want confrontation. Please don't embarrass me. I'll just let her go. Let's roll your eyes. Let's walk away. And what that's done is it's created this system in this country where the most vile, despicable communists are completely bold. They just operate without any fear whatsoever. They'll go on television. They'll crush white people. This stupid whitey idiot, dumb white people. Ha, 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 ha. Without any fear whatsoever. But what do the other people do? It doesn't matter what color you are. What do the good people do? Well, I mean, he does have a point. And I just want to let you know before I even go any further, I have a lot of black friends and I have a lot of sympathy for the immediately you're throwing qualifiers out there and I'm just trying to be nice and please don't call me a racist and boom, you've already lost. The second I hear qualifiers, you lost. You're done. The second you roll your eyes and walk away, you're done. But these people, they crumble like a sandcastle when they are actually faced with equal boldness and aggression coming back their way. They can't even compute. I don't even, you know what? Chris, Corey, find this freaking guy's name. Whoever this reporter was, this guy questioning Brandon Johnson, listen to this long blasting of Brandon Johnson. And in the end, the mayor of Chicago couldn't do anything, but I reject the premise of your question.
My follow-up question is a businessman, Robert Gomez, had his riverfront restaurant license yanked. You said that the reason you hire black people is because they're the most generous race on the planet. His riverfront restaurant license was yanked and given to a black restaurateur. That seems to, that has, once again, reinforced the belief among real Chicagoans, white and black, and Mexican, that you are a racist. What do you say to those people?
Again, I reject the premise that somehow that your question has any legitimacy. Thank you for your time, sir.
Owned him. And you know what? I have to give credit where credit is due. Donald Trump deserves some credit for the change in how bold our side has become in dealing with communists. Did you hear him destroy this NBC reporter today from the White House? He's been doing this for 10 years. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But what's happened is courage is contagious. And when he speaks like this, it gives people the boldness to do the same.
Mr. President, the Pentagon announced that it would be accepting a Qatari jet to be used as Air Force One.
What are you talking about? You're to get out of here. What does this have to do with the Qatari jet? They're giving the United States Air Force a jet, okay? And it's a great thing. We're talking about a lot of other things. It's NBC trying to get off the subject of what you just saw. You are a real, you know, you're a terrible reporter. Number one, you don't have what it takes to be a reporter. You're not smart enough. But for you to go into a subject about a jet that was given to the United States Air Force, which is a very nice thing. They also gave $5.1 trillion worth of investment in addition to the jet. You ought to go back to your studio at NBC because Brian Roberts and the people that run that place, they ought to be investigated. They are so terrible the way you run that network. And you're a disgrace. No more questions from you. Go ahead.
That's perfect. That's how you deal with them. Right in your stupid face. I think you're stupid. I think you're an idiot. Whatever argument they make, come right back at them. And this is easy, though, when you're dealing with an NBC news reporter. It's more difficult when you're dealing with race communists, especially in this country. But if we are bold enough to speak up, to speak out against this kind of filth, then we will really start to make significant gains. But I am warning you now, like I warned you to open the show. The leopard wants to hunt because it's in his bones. And the American communist believes white people are evil. It's in his bones. And he operates that way, whether he's a judge, whatever he is. And that's what we're up against. All right. We have to discuss something very important. Something about the Biden presidency. Before we discuss that, let's talk about your photos, shall we? I'm talking about the box of pictures you have, the wedding album you have, the baby albums. Ob has one of these for each of the boys. Baby albums of hard copy pictures. Do you have any old family videos? You know you need to digitize all those. Every single day those things fade. Do you realize that? But how do you do that? I don't know how to do that. Do you? Legacy Box does. And this is an American company. Right here in Tennessee, an American company. I have trusted Legacy Box with pictures and videos of my father. So when I tell you I trust them, I've done it. And I've already got my stuff back. They digitized everything, sent me my stuff back, and now I have those things forever. It means everything to me. Everything. Thank you, Legacy Box. You want to do what I did? Get the box now. You fill it up at your leisure. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.